approximately 1 in every 59 children are born with autism. Albert Einstein.
Dr. Einstein had no speech until age 3. Steve Jobs. He was a loner. He brought snakes to school.
Leonardo da Vinci. This man was far advanced on the autism spectrum.
I'm not naughty. I'm autistic. And I just get too much information.
You're listening to Takiwa Tanga, Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism, One Strength at a Time.
Hi everyone, I hope you're all doing okay, and in today's episode, I would like to talk to you about a couple of things. The first one is my reflection or key takeaways with my interview with Susie. And then the second one is the Ministry of Education response to my questions. These are 20 questions that I've raised after receiving the decline result. After receiving the decline of the ORS result or application that we have raised a few months ago. So we'll just go first with my reflection with my past episode. So going back to that, couple of episodes, I did mention that starting from or moving forward, I will start doing reflections every after an interview with a parent or an expert or someone with or on the autism spectrum. So this is the key takeaways that I have noted down. The first one is, which is very important, parents and carers will have to be vigilant or be careful about giving prescription medicine to your child or to your kids, especially those who are in the autism or on the autism spectrum, because every medicine has side effects. We may be aware about that, but sometimes we tend to forget that regardless of what medicine, even vitamins and supplements, they have side effects. It just so happened that we are not, or the side effects are not manifesting in most cases because of how our body reacts to those side effects. But at the end of the day, people on the spectrum will have different experience or different outcome in terms of those side effects, and those side effects might manifest differently. That's why it's very important for us to make sure that every time that we are going to be prescribed with a medicine, regardless of what medicine is that, and every time we are going to be prescribed by that, we need to make sure that we are vigilant and we ask questions to our experts or to whoever is prescribing those medicines. We ask questions of what it's going to be or what are going to be the effect or effects of that medicine to a child's nervous system. So basically just making sure that we are giving them safe medicine and we are giving them something that is going to really, really help our child and our family in that sense. So it's very important. That's a very key thing. I understand that for most of the time, we are very, very busy. And especially if you have a lot of things on your plate for that day, after a checkup, you go to a pharmacy and get those medicines, and because we are all caught up with the day, we are all busy at times, we stop asking ourselves what effect this might have to our child, which is totally understandable. But I guess it's just a reminder for everyone, every parent, even individuals, to be cautious about medicines. And again, these are chemicals that we are putting inside our body to regulate some aspects of our nervous system. But again, chemicals produce different reactions or reaction to people. So just be mindful about that. And this is not something that is new, to be honest. We are very much, I know we are very much aware about side effects, but because of the busyness in our lives and the challenges that we are facing, for sometimes we are caught up with that. And yeah, it's just a reminder, okay? Nothing else. And then in terms of the journey itself, I find it odd for the journey itself, because different cases for most of the parents that I've spoken to regarding their journey of autism, they have, or we all have, different pathways. And I totally understand that different parents or different families, panels, will have different circumstances and different a journey. But at the end of the day, we're still on the same boat, and we should be navigating into a one, should I call it standard, or one process across all. So at least it's not confusing. I mean, for some reason, we talked about the CAMS, how they were referred to CAMS. Or CAMS is a child, adult, mental health services. For some reason, they were referred to that. And we are, in our case, we were referred to the DHB. So something is odd in there, because, I don't know, is the assessment through CAMS faster than the DHB, or the other way around? And then how about the follow-ups? How about the review on dosage and stuff like that? So it's really, really odd. So I need to start looking at those side of things, talking to people in CAMS and also people in DHB or Health New Zealand or Maori Health. Now it's a little that's what I was talking about. Now it has gotten more complex because of the split of the Maori Health and Health New Zealand. And now who should I speak to? So okay, that's another topic or another conversation. Topic for conversation. But yeah, those are the things that I have noted down. Just be vigilant and make sure to ask more questions to the practitioner, whoever is prescribing the medicine or medicines to our family, Fanao, especially if your child has other notable condition like ADHD, autism, things like that. So it's super, super important to follow up. And oh yeah, I just remembered, following up. So it's super important to ask questions about the medicines and side effects, and then the next one is follow up. So most of the time, the practice or the doctors or the practitioners or whoever is looking after the clinic, most of the time we don't get any follow-ups as well on how things are going with our child, with whoever was prescribed with a medicine. I'm not saying it's not happening, or it's happening across the country, across Aotearoa, but there are instances that some clinics are good at following up their patients and some are not. So it depends, actually, in my view, with the clinic. But it's important that a follow-up is also being conducted to make sure that there's nothing wrong happening with the family because of the medicines, things like that. Anyway, so those are my key takeaways. Now it has become three. So again, I'm gonna repeat it again. So the first one is being vigilant, being careful, or being mindful of the medicines that we are taking in into our body, to make sure that we ask questions about side effects before we give them to our family, even friends. You know, we just need to make sure that we are aware of those potential side effects, especially if you are on the autism spectrum or your child has autism or ADHD. So different person will have different reaction to those side effects. The next one is follow-up. I know it is a very, very challenging times recently, but I think it's not going to be, or it's not, it or it shouldn't be an excuse for clinics to forget about following up with the kids or with their patients on how the medicine is taking, how the medicine is reacting to the person who took it. And then the third one is this very, very confusing path or pathway that each and every individual family who has or who have people on the autism spectrum in their family, the pathway is very confusing. Some are referred to this area, some are referred to that area. So I just wondered how many pathway, I know there's a lot, but how many are being recommended towards going to camps? How many are being recommended towards the DHB in terms of assessment? So it's a little confusing for me, and even just listening to those kinds of stories makes me wonder how many confused parents are there across the country and across the whole wide world. So very interesting. Now, those are my key takeaways, and I am hoping that I probably just write something up in the blog post in the website or on the website about the details of this one, because this is just a very quick summary, and I know there are a lot of things that I just wanted to make sure that we have noted down, and the blog post might probably be the best option for me to write down the things that caught up my attention during my discussion with Susie, which is amazing. Her story is amazing, to be honest, and I just had a chance to talk to her a couple of months or a few months ago, asking her if she can be a guest to my podcast, and she agreed, which is I'm very, very happy about. And her story is a little sensitive, and if you are going to listen to that, please make sure to read the description as well. And if you want to talk to someone, there are websites that I have noted down on that description on the podcast interview. And also, if you feel like talking to someone, which I think I just mentioned, so just go through that list and you will be able to find someone to speak to about that episode if you feel uncomfortable with that episode. All right, so thanks again for that, Susie. And I hope to have another catch-up soon with her, because we haven't scratched the surface yet. We haven't started scratching that surface of this autism surface. And there are still a lot of things that I wanted to discuss with her, or I wanted to talk about with her journey, but we ran out of time, so we'll just probably do another one when she's available and free to do so as well. Right, going to the next topic, which is the Ministry of Education. And this is in line with my questions that I have raised with them, because I was asking them to give me, or maybe to respond to those questions via podcast. And I was requesting if I can interview someone from them or from their team to answer those questions. Unfortunately, we didn't get someone to answer those questions personally, but rather I was given answers to those questions on a written form. So now I'm wondering how I can do this. Maybe I'll just read this one by one, but it's 20 questions and I don't think we have time now, but I'm glad that I was able to get some answers from them. But again, like I said, this is a podcast, a conversation or conversational podcast, and I'm going to be reading their response. But what if I have follow-up question or questions, which I certainly have. I was just reading number one, item number one, or question number one, and I already have a follow-up question, but who should I ask? Do I need to raise another OIA with them that took more than a month, or I can just pretend about the answers and I can just pretend that I'm someone who's expert in the Ministry of Education and answer those questions or follow-up questions based on my gut feel? That's going to be subjective now if I will be doing that, right? So those are the problem, or that's the problem that I have raised with them. This is a podcast about conversation. How can I do a follow-up? But yeah, and then the response are generic. What if I wanted to deep dive to a more detailed instance or summary? What will happen with that? And a few questions. I just did a quick go through with this, and a couple of questions. I think the answer is they cannot comment on those things, which is odd. Feel like I understand that. Again, every family will have different circumstances with respect to education, with respect to the support required, but there should be something in there that's generic. But you will find out why I think of that. So what I'm planning to do is, actually, I'm going to do a couple of episodes more. So I'm going to split this response into two so that I can read clearly and provide my insights in those responses. And I've decided to cut it into two chunks. The first, or the part one episode for this Ministry of Education response is questions 1 to 10, and then the second part will be 11 to 20. So at least we can discuss further and deep dive on those questions. And also, I will be putting this up as part of the blog post with the actual response. I'm not gonna edit this. I will just copy paste this and put the response. And I'm going to check if the name of the person who responded to this can be put up on the blog post as well. If the name is listed on a public domain, then perhaps that's okay as well. And again, I have requested for a podcast interview face-to-face so that we can get the answer and we can do follow-ups. But I guess it's also safe to put the name up there to represent the Ministry of Education side of things in terms of the responses. What else? This is about 1, 4 pages back to back. So I wish I can start reading it now. I'm itching to do it now, like, but I need to go through the questions again and the answers, and to come up with some insights that is easily chewable for you, and also some thoughts or some follow-up questions that I may have asked after that. And then I will leave the answers up to you on how you would like to see the answers fit into your day-to-day life or lives. But I won't stop there. From there, I will still try to get someone from the Ministry of Education. Excuse me, my throat is starting to itch. So I would still need to get someone from the Ministry of Education to have a, you know, face-to-face human conversation, so that we can just get some insights from their point of view about the support that they are giving. Not necessarily they have something to do with these questions that I've raised, but on a more, how do you call that? I just want more clarity on how they do things in their office. For the reason that, if you will remember my episode number 24 with Minister Poto Williams, she was talking about the new FICAHA, Ministry for the Disabled People, how their office will be working with other offices or other ministries with respect to people with high needs or disabled people. So how will that happen if, let's say, Ministry of Education is working on a silo and they are not talking to someone from the Ministry of Health or the Health New Zealand or the Maori Health? Seriously, I'm getting confused now with this different split. I know they are just easily digestible, but I am challenged, or not challenged, who should I speak to? Do I need to speak to both Maori Health and Health New Zealand? So that, those kinds of things. So anyway, those are the things that are on my plate right now, and I'm wanting to interview or get someone from their office or their offices, if we're talking about the Minister of Health and Maori Health, Health New Zealand. If I will be able to get someone from them, that would be great. So at least it's clear my perspective and other parents' perspective as well about the new system and what should we do, how we do it, and why we need to do it. Still a question in my head as a fellow member of the society. Okay, I think I'm done for now, but I will be back. Just like Arnold says, I'll be back. I think I'm done for just trying to make myself happy and smiling after this episode. I'm still to be honest, a lot of frustrations inside me that is lingering and waiting for answers and waiting for clarity that I couldn't get for now. But we are still going to strive for more information, more clarity on how we should navigate the autism journey across different finals with confidence, should I say, and with less frustrations. I'm not gonna totally say that there is 100% no frustrations, but with less frustration with respect to where we are at right now. Guys, I am done for the day, and I hope all of you are doing okay and surviving, and what you call that, keep hanging on to that, keep holding on. So yep, we'll get through this mess with the services. So I'm just being honest. I feel like it's a total mess and a total wreck with in terms of getting the right services for your for kids, not just those who are on the spectrum, but you know, you get what I mean, right? So you get my point. This is no what you call that? I forgot the term. This is not blah blah blah. I forgot. But anyway, given that I forgot the term that I'm about to say, I just want to wish everyone and hope everyone to have a very, very nice weekend. Or very, very nice week. It's not even weekends yet. Very, very nice. Have a nice and amazing week. Enjoy your journey. Enjoy your journey with your... See, my throat is scratchy now. All right. Enjoy your journey and hope all of you are doing amazing things and all of you are well. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I'll catch you.
Every tangata fight takiwatanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter is one step closer to your success. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Memuto te fakawa haire. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia maya, kia kaha, be brave and be strong. Thank you.